And answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them. That's beautiful, isn't it? He touched me. He touched them. And he said, Arise, be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man, save Jesus only. No one else, just Jesus only. Now, where I want to sort of pick on this particular portion is where Moses and Elijah are talking with him. And another scripture, I think it's in Luke's Gospel, they had a little council meeting, a discussion. They discussed his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. We sang in our opening hymn, Done is the work that saved. And we were singing about the law and the sacrifice, the veil is rent and the sacrifice is over. But here, Moses had a great sight, as did Elijah. He could look down the annals of time. And here he is brought with privilege. He didn't get into the promised land, did he? No. But here he is, standing on the top of the mount, in conference, in council, in discussion with the blessed Lord Jesus himself. And they're discussing him and Elias, the three of them, what is about to happen in Jerusalem. What a sight that is. In fact, Moses, he looks, as I said, down the aisle and he sees. And I would, maybe, I'm going to use a hymn here, maybe to express it. He beholds, his eyes behold a man upon the cross. As they're discussing it. And the hymn verse goes like this, Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there, until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. He and Elijah, as I've just said earlier, had the priceless privilege and honor to hold that little council meeting with the Lord of Glory, and they discussed what he should accomplish. Now, I'm not going to leave it there, because there was others had great sights. Abraham, it says of him, he rejoiced to see my day, the Lord Jesus. Speaking of Abraham. And the other ones that I was thinking of, and you could maybe go through other characters in the Old Testament and other portions of Scripture, as they would look ahead, we look back, but they looked ahead, and they would have wonderful sights of glory and visions of the Lord Jesus and Calvary. But then, I was thinking of that time the Lord has gone home, or he's died, he's been crucified, he's been raised from the dead, and he appears unto the disciples, he commissions them, and then we begin in Acts chapter 1, and we read down how that in that portion, verse 1, and when he had spoken these things, and while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received them out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. What a sight to behold. The disciples, they were on a low because they thought he had gone from them previous to that, not realizing, forgetting that he had told them that he would rise again from among the dead. Now they're on the victory side, and they stand and they watch him being caught up He disappears in the clouds. What a sight. And what a sight it's going to be for us when we hear the shout, first of all, the dead in Christ. I must tell you about Dorothy's on the phone one time. I hear her saying, "Oh no, no, no. I don't want to be caught up when the time comes." Oh, what sort of theology is this? What sort of heresy is this? Then she goes on to the person she's talking to. "I want to be among the dead because the dead in Christ will rise first." Mind you, it's only in the twinkling of an eye of the difference. But that was her little bit of fun with someone one time. But we're going to have that sight. Our eyes are going to behold Him. We're going to be caught up. We're going to see Him face to face. What a sight that will be. Then I thought of Paul, Saul of Tarsus. What a sight he had that day. He went out. He was going out to persecute the church, and he's riding along the Damascus Road. And all of a sudden he gets a sight. The sun, of course, has a blinding sun, blinds him, but he gets a sight, maybe not with his physical eyes, but he gets a sight of the Lord of glory. In fact, he says, "I was born as one out of due time." So he is there and he hears the Lord speak to him, why do you persecute me? And then Paul gets the commission and the call. What a sight that day for Paul on the Damascus Road. Let's backtrack a bit. We read of the babe Moses being born. But think of Mary. The angel Gabriel visits her. She carries the Lord Jesus. He's born. She takes that child. She looks at him. Talk about a comely child. A beautiful child. This child was marked. "He shall be great," it says. "He shall save his people from their sins." And Mary pondered in her heart all the things she had heard and witnessed and saw with her own eyes, from his birth to the cross and beyond. What sights she beheld. Anna and Simeon in the temple, similar. "Lord, let now thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." What a sight. Want to go sightseeing? Don't go on a travel log. That's all right. It's only temporal. What sightseeing we can do through the Scriptures. And there's a coming day, as we have said, "I have not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those that love Him."